Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, my guest is going to be Margie Schaefer. Margie Schaefer's son has a tragic tale about her son, and it's not a tale. It is a fact. And also, we're going to talk about her dilemma as a grandmother. Now, both of these pertain to vaccination. People who listen to this show already know that. However, if you're new to the program, welcome, and I'm going to pick up my guest, Margie Schaefer, directly. Hello, Margie.
Hello. Hi. Hi, Sally.
Well, thank you very much for letting me know that you held an event for October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, and what date was it held, and would you just let me know the date and what's...
It was this past Saturday, October the 3rd, and we were together. We started at 10 a.m., and this group stayed together. I don't think they walked out till about 2:30 in the afternoon. It's a good group.
Well, there's so much to educate people about, and the movie you showed was Bought. And
yes.
How long is the movie?
It's 90 minutes.
And it's directly under the screen for anybody who's listening to this program. If you're listening to it on Facebook, open the link and you'll see Bought the movie directly under the screen, which Margie sent me, and it's running free through October 15th. So please do take advantage of that. Margie, why don't you tell us about, your son, please, his name and his experience with vaccination.
Well, my son's name is Keith Andrew Schaefer, and he was born on September 25th of 1985. And being the responsible, indoctrinated parents that we were, we, of course, had our children vaccinated. But I noticed I was always so nervous about it. At that time, we still were given a lot of literature to read, and we had to sign, you know, an informed consent form. And I never felt good about it. I was always very nervous. My children did run fevers after their injections. And that's a sign of brain inflammation, plus being cranky and just all out of sorts for like a week afterwards. We continued to go. Then I was noticing that there were behavioral changes continuing with him. Do you want me to go on into more detail?
What changes with him?
There were more and more health changes. He was having health
more
challenges.
More and more health changes.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
It was like
sometimes people don't put reactions to vaccines together with the vaccines. So the more explicit you are, the more informed the listener will be. So, yes, please do.
Well, his life was definitely a cascading effect of vaccine injuries. I've been researching. I have a paper I've written and documented all these side effects by going to the vaccine safety manual by Neil Miller I just purchased the Red Book by the American Academy of Pediatrics. And that is the standard book that physicians use to write medical exemptions. So I'm documenting every reaction that he had. And just one thing more I want to say about that before I go into the reactions. It's amazing that in this country, a child must be injured before a doctor will write a medical exemption, no matter what family history is. And that's very upsetting.
This is really serious. And not only that, but children who have reactions, most of them don't even qualify for a medical exemption.
No. Yeah, it's absurd. So at 2 years old, Keith's physician stated that she thought Keith had attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. He was overly aggressive to his baby brother and mentioned putting him on Ritalin. Well, I just left her right away and went to another pediatrician who said, did not agree, but just said he was a very active child. He endured the DPT at 2, 4, 6, 18 months. That's, of course, linked to diabetes, attention deficit disorder, and neurological disorders. He also had the 3 polio vaccines, which are connected to cancers, specifically bone and leukemia. At 15 months, Keith had the MMR vaccine, connected to neurological disorders, learning disabilities, muscle and coordination, fever, diabetes, and autoimmune diseases. Then, 4 to 6 years of age, he had his 4th round of the DPT and the polio. And at that time, he would wake up at night screaming with severe nightmares. Do I still have you?
Yes, I'm just letting you speak about the entire
event. Yeah, I heard my phone beep. I didn't know if I had lost you. And so he became more active and yet tired. I mean, we had him in Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts at Pinewood Derby, and that's an exciting event for the little boys, racing their cars. He would fall asleep on us. It's like, what little child, instead of running around with the other boys, would just fall asleep? He was like either really hyper or he was asleep. And it was very hard for him in school. He was diagnosed by 3rd grade with attention deficit disorder. Again, they wanted to prescribe Ritalin, but me being a cranial sacral therapist certified and massage therapist and having a wellness center, I said, no way. So we used cranial sacral to cerebral spinal fluid. That really helped his life elongate, I do know now, because of the constant, every night I'd work on him and be cleaning out the cerebral spinal fluid where the mercury and the thymerosal is mercury. And aluminum will tend to deposit. Another big thing that was so disturbing with our son is he could never ride a bike. He lacked the neurological coordination to ride a bike. I'm like, what's wrong? We kept wondering, what is wrong? So it was the attention deficit, the tiredness, lethargy, then the difficult learning disabilities, and he had his IEP meetings where we would constantly have intervention to help him in this public school system. Then at age 10, he had the chickenpox vaccination, and within 2 weeks came down with diabetes, type 1 diabetes. Frequent urination, again, was the sign that had us taken to the doctors. Then at age 14, he came down with leukemia after he had the Hep B. That's when the Hep B just came out. And going into 9th grade, they required that. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, how much more can my child endure? What is going on? What is going on were my questions. But at that time, this was the 90s. Diabetes was 1996, leukemia was 1999. The internet was really in its infancy. Now, oh my gosh, there is so much you can learn and connect with, and it's a whole different ballgame now of education out there. So that's allowed me to be able to figure out what happened to my son. And the words that I just picked off of the Bob movie, I've watched it a couple times, were, and I really resonate with this, that my son's life was a cascading effect of vaccine injury. It's just piling one on top of the other, and, of course, the multiple ones they're given nowadays. I mean, our sons were vaccinated in the 80s and 90s. I don't think Keith would have lasted much. He probably would have died a lot sooner with the amount of vaccinations they're given now. The only reason I think he made it as long as he did is because he was receiving almost nightly cranial sacral therapy. If you look in Dr. Sears' book, And, of course, people probably know about Dr. Sears' book. I have my books all over the place here, my references. He has he's one of the first books written, the vaccine book, Robert Sears, MD. He has the delayed and spread out plan. He states in there, if your child has a vaccination reaction, get him to a craniosacral therapist ASAP and continue having that therapy done on a regular basis to clean out the cerebral spinal fluid. So that really excited me to see these, you know, to find all this information. How's that for kind of a summary?
Well, did you find all that information after your son had passed or during
when he got juvenile diabetes, that's when I really started to take him from holistic therapist to holistic therapist, because that's who said his autoimmune system, that's an autoimmune disease, and that the chickenpox virus, that is what causes juvenile diabetes. It attacks the beta cells in the pancreas.
For everyone who's listening, that's the varicella vaccine. If you're not aware of what the chickenpox vaccine is called, it's called the varicella vaccine.
Right. And they grow that. A lot of vaccines are grown on organ tissue. So what happens is when that vaccine goes into the body, it tends to migrate to that organ that it was grown on. And that's what happens in this case for the juvenile diabetes. Now, look at juvenile diabetes. It's got a tremendous increase when you look at the graphs. Tremendous increase. I don't have the statistics in my mind, but if you research that online, you can see the increase in this. Maybe you have that, Sally, the percentage.
Well,
increase.
No, I don't. I do know that it has exploded, as has leukemia, which your son also
and leukemia.
Got.
Yes, and so then the Hep B, I haven't researched what they grow that on, but, you know, being a blood, it is a blood disorder. When vaccinations are injected into the blood, they bypass the natural immune response, which comes in through the mouth and through the nose. That, when we develop natural immunity, which nobody can do these days, if they're vaccinated, it just totally destroys the ability of the body to have natural immunity. And the reason is it bypasses the natural response. The first cells, the white blood cells, that recognize that that foreign invader has come into the body, and it starts to prepare in a systematic way. You get a direct hit. It's like a bomb going off in your body when you have the vaccines injected. It goes right into the blood. The aluminum and mercury are in there to hold it in the blood longer. And what was attacking my son with leukemia? His blood. Yeah.
I know that you mentioned that he was a really funny and fun-loving and impish or possibly prankster.
He was.
Who was his favorite comedian? Made him laugh?
I'm sorry, what was that you asked?
Who made him laugh?
He had the ability to make himself laugh and all of us. It's like going through all of this, I mean, the countless needles and injections and spinal taps. I was in over 35 spinal tap injections as he went through the chemotherapy treatments at Hershey Medical Center. And he would get up. This was absurd. The doctors and the nurses would always go, we've never had a child go through these leukemia chemotherapy treatments as healthy as your son is. What are you doing? I was doing craniosacral. I was doing everything good with nutrition to build his immune system and keep it as healthy as possible. So he'd get up off the table after conscious sedation and just be walking around and laughing and saying, oh, I feel so good. Mom, give me the keys. Let's go drive, because he was getting his driver's license at that time. And the nurses would just be like, whoa, what's going on? I said, this is incredible. So I'd tell them what I was doing, and they kind of raised their eyebrows, you know. The nurses would listen. They're more open, but the doctors follow that protocol.
So your son endured chemotherapy. In retrospect, would you have done that again?
Oh, no, no way. We have connections with, offshore health systems. We would either go down to Jamaica, where there's a fantastic program working in natural ways to build an immune system so the body fights the cancer itself. So my husband and I practice every day eating organic, taking apricot seeds to kill. They kill apricot seeds, has laetro in it, which is cyanide at a small amount. It goes through the cancer cell and kills the cancer. We all have cancer in our bodies. So we would do something alternative if it would happen. But we're not waiting for that to happen. We take precautions every day. We're not on any medication. We're not on any medications. Once you're in the loop, it's all downhill. My brother-in-law was just diagnosed with prostate cancer. And they're like, oh, we're so happy. He's only got prostate cancer. They have no idea what they're in for. No idea. And it's just, phew. It's Russian roulette when you go in with chemotherapy. It is Russian roulette. And the oncologist wouldn't talk to the endocrinologist, so we don't understand diabetes. We don't know how this protocol, which is all for children, it's an experiment anyway. We don't know how this is going to react with his diabetes. So there cannot be any complications. And, oh, my gosh, that was a life-changing experience. Yeah. I don't wish it on anybody.
I know a lot of people who lose a child. Sometimes they get divorced. How did you weather that?
Well, that is, majority do. Majority of people who lose a child do get divorced. It's brought my husband and I closer together, I think, because we'll talk about it. My husband doesn't like to talk about it. It brings him a lot of grief, but I have an altar here. I'm standing right in front of his self-portrait. He was a wonderful artist. And downstairs in my lobby, I have another altar. I'm very spiritual. I study Course in Miracles. I attend a Buddhist insight meditation group weekly, and my faith, it keeps me going. I forgave all Akish doctors. You have to forgive everyone because everyone is doing what they think is the best thing. They may not be informed with wise choices.
I find that a lot of the alternative, which are really not alternative, the original cures, the homeopathic cures, are what the doctors seek for themselves. I find that pediatricians, more than the regular population, do not vaccinate their children. So I think your largesse in forgiving people who, for themselves and their families, do not follow the allopathic medicine is extremely impressive.
It is. It's very disturbing. My body does not hold up too well when I get angry. It tears me down. So I have to stay in a place of love and compassion. As I ventured this in the last, my grandson's 16 months old, as I ventured this arena again, and become very active, I've got a lot of breakdown in my body, my musculoskeletal system, and I must stay at a high vibrational frequency of love. When I go up and speak to senators, when I go to Harrisburg and lobby as a citizen and I talk to my senator and my representatives, they're listening because I'm in this place of compassion and I'm hoping to maintain that. Sort of the middle way, we call that in Buddhism, where we take action and we are working towards the cause. However, I won't hold up if I go into the anger. Yeah.
Right.
I can't.
Well, it's important to concentrate on I call it a mission of mercy. This is what you and I are both on, and everybody who speaks out on behalf of children's lives. This is a mission of mercy. We ask our legislators and our doctors to extend mercy to their patients and to their constituents as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I have our physicians are willing to listen. Our physician doesn't take insurance and will not vaccinate any child under 2 years of age, and doesn't even, she's really questioning it. So I'm going to introduce her to a system called homeoprophylaxis, which is homeopathy. It's an alternative to vaccinations. It's not a vaccination. It's a way of educating the immune system in a general way to hold up against all disease processes. A lot of these diseases were already eradicated. They were brought back by the vaccines, and our increased health sanitation in our country allows us to be able to live without these diseases.
Since we have 20 minutes left, I'm going to ask you about your dilemma as a grandmother.
Yeah, that's another thing that's tearing me down. Because when you see the potential of having another child go through what my son did, that's a direct hard hit. And my other son was 19 months younger than Keith, who passed away. And he is not on board. He is not on board with what we would rather not see our grandson vaccinated at all. And I know that it's the parents' choice. But you would think that after he witnessed what happened to his brother, that he would at least want to educate himself. But he has no interest in that. Wants to vaccinate traditionally. My daughter-in-law is on board with me, but her alliance is with her husband. You know, they were recently married, and it's really a dilemma that we have here.
Yeah, that is a really, really big dilemma, as you say. If they were following, if you were following the vaccine schedule that is current for Keith, he would have died a lot earlier. That's a very important point you make, and certainly one that his wife may understand. But what can we do, America, to wake up Margie's son? This is the dilemma, knowing the truth and not being able to express it so that it is accepted by the father of your grandchild. I mean, your potential. You currently have grandchildren, am I correct?
I have.
Or not
my
yet?
One grandson. No, my one grandson, he's 16 months old.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And he was given two vaccines at 2 months and responded not well at all. And you would think that my son would take that into showing that he's already had damage. We've been able to reverse most of that damage. But at 2 months old, he received the DPT and the rotavirus. He endured a fever, screaming, blank staring for several days, and he stopped rolling over. That demonstrates neurological brain inflammation. He also had severe diarrhea, increased flatulence, and digestive issues that require probiotic digestive enzymes. And we're still having to add that to his food. It's just really scary. Yeah, it's really scary. So they
it is really
change.
Scary.
Yeah, it's scary. They did change doctors. I found a DO who is much more open to researching family history and working with the family, and does accept children who aren't vaccinated. Many doctors do not even accept a child to their practice if they are not vaccinated. So we are lucky to have a physician who is open-minded. Actually, two. Our physician as well. So
there's a good video by Dr. Nancy Banks, who's an OBGYN, and she says that children cannot benefit from artificial immunization through the age of 3. So this is a video that you might give to your son. I'll send it to you. I'll put it in the comment area. Everybody, look in the comment area after the program, because I have maybe 20 videos of doctors who are speaking the truth, and I will put the link to all those videos directly in the comment area if you scroll down, okay?
That's wonderful.
It starts with Nancy Banks. That's the number one video there. So, now you are going to join me on October 11th on the Mall in Washington, D.C. at 1 p.m. Among the memorials, I'm thinking we should meet at the Vietnam Veterans War Memorial. And they have a statue beyond the memorial itself. There's a statue of 3 people. And let us meet by that statue of 3 people close to the Vietnam War Memorial. It's part of the greater memorial. And at 1 p.m. And the reason I choose that memorial is because of all the memorials I've ever seen, that one is the most effective. Not the statue, but the memorial itself. When people used to come to visit me in Washington, D.C., I used to say to them, there's only one thing you absolutely need to experience, because everything else you can see on a postcard, this is not done justice on a postcard, and the experience of it is tremendous. It's gotten to the point, I've taken so many people to this memorial, and no one leaves without crying. It's impossible. And I've gotten to the last time I went there, I brought my children, and I started to cry on the way to the memorial. It is that moving, just, you know, sense memory, just the tears were flowing on the way to the memorial. And there are many memorials there. None of them do you get this experience with. And it's important to really leave a memorial reflecting on the lives that have been lost. That's the entire purpose. So there you go. So let us meet by that statue of 3 people near the Vietnam War Memorial. And I'll tell everybody that that's where we're meeting.
Yes.
Okay, so that's October 11th at 1 p.m. Sunday. Continue, Margie. How has your husband borne this tragedy? You say he doesn't like to talk about it. So it leaves you a little bit lonely in the experience of expressing your sorrow.
Yeah, I've done a lot of crying, and you have to let it out. You do. Everybody I tell to who's lost a son, I attract people who lose children. My friends I have many friends who have lost sons and daughters through either automobile accidents or drug overdoses. And it's, I tell them, cry. I'm a licensed massage therapist, and I do emotional release work. You have to let out that grief. You have to clear the heart meridians, clear the lung meridians, and otherwise it will just destroy you. And then find the positive in that child's life. And for me, I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for my son, for Keith. He has allowed me to study so much holistic therapy that's helping people, and every day I feel like I'm helping people without drugs, without surgery, and that's very powerful. I'm very passionate in my work. I wouldn't have that without that experience. My husband supports me in all that I do, and I think in a quiet way that's helping him. It's helping him. Because he's supporting me in my activism. in a passive way, but also not just in a passive way. He's my driver. He drives me everywhere to this and that, and just, you know, gives me a lot of hugs. And what can I say? It's I'm very lucky to have him, and I'm very grateful for him to be my my rock that I can stand on.
Well, I really appreciate your coming on and explaining your son's adverse reactions, especially because so many people don't realize that diabetes and leukemia are outcomes from vaccination, and yet they have skyrocketed since our vaccine schedule has skyrocketed. And it's really important because, you know, October is also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's not just Vaccine Injury Awareness Month. And, I've interviewed different doctors about breast cancer, and they're saying that the mammograms are causing it.
Yes, they are. I haven't had a mammogram. We do thermography, and that's what I support, the thermography. And
there's also the baby in utero when they put that, what do you call that, when they show you the picture of your baby while it's in your stomach? There's a term
for that. The
thermogram? They're saying that has leukemia has risen as a result of that as well.
Oh, I had not heard of that.
The man who did the report and his findings, I tried to interview him, and he was cut off the station, and he just wrote to me again and said, oh, can we do an interview? I'm eager to get that. But leukemia resulting from vaccination makes perfect sense, considering the poison they're injecting directly into your bloodstream. That's practically a no-brainer, you know?
I have a little boy I'm treating right now who's 5 years old, and he has leukemia. So I'm showing his mother various detoxification things he can do so he can make it through his treatment as well as Keith did. But my son was misdiagnosed as well. So they misdiagnosed him with the wrong leukemia. So he didn't stand a chance from the beginning. It was a 3-year, 3-month chemotherapy program. The leukemias are long, long, long treatment programs. And he made it almost to 3 years and then relapsed. And they said what he needed was a bone marrow transplant right from the beginning. Now, I'm looking at it this way. I don't think he would have survived the bone marrow transplant right from the beginning because he was very ill and very weak. So I figure we had 3 more years with him to laugh and enjoy each other as much as we could through the pain and the misery of the treatment. You're really at the mercy of, do they even get the diagnosis correct?
That's pretty much unbelievable that he was being treated for the wrong... Well, I mean, it's not unbelievable. Nothing is unbelievable anymore. But
if I told you the story of how he checked out, too, there's so much alignment with spirit. I mean, he left like a war veteran, just like a slaughter, with all of us around him, my husband, myself, and his grandparents. And I know my granddad was the first to bring him over. He had a total leg amputation. He was bleeding out of every pore of his body because he got sepsis, because he was neutropenic. Her, she said, we messed up. We misdiagnosed him. We can't do anything more for him. So he prepped him for the bone marrow, sent him home with no defenses, totally no white blood count for us to wake up and take him the next day to Johns Hopkins. So he woke up in such severe pain in his leg. And his doctor was on vacation, and he had no backup because all the big hospitals don't communicate with the local doctors. He had no local doctors. I took him into the emergency room. They had to go through protocol. I went, call Hershey. The nurse is waiting. Talk. And my cell phone wouldn't work. Finally, I found a phone, threw it in the doctor's face, and he goes, oh, okay. Let's stick him in the car and get him right up there with an IV in. oh, well, it's against protocol to send them with an IV. Well, let's do it anyway. There was no helicopter ride, nothing. Everything stacked up that it was Key State to go. Everything. So people probably wonder how I talk about this, but I've done a lot of healing with spirit. And it just helps me stay really, really firm in what I'm doing, staying grounded, staying with evidence-based research. I mean, it's all out there. The research is done. There's no way they can say that vaccines are safe. There's absolutely no way. And we are the truth revealers, the whistleblowers. We've got to get it out there.
All right.
Thank you for letting me express that. I know it's hard for people to hear that. But that's what a lot of children are going to go through. That's what a lot of children are going to go through, and their parents and their families. And why? You don't need to go through that.
Well, you know, a lot of people whose children die in the hospital on the first day of birth from the hepatitis B vaccine, this is more common than people realize. And,
and SIDS. A majority of SIDS infant deaths are occurring within the vaccines as well at the 2 months. I believe that's the highest one. They pass, and it's not even being reported or connected.
There was a nurse who was on the Alex Jones show who was saying that they were vaccinating the preemies, and they had to get the hospital beds ready, the emergency beds ready for the preemies that they were about to vaccinate. So they know that these children are in distress. They're vaccinating them according to the schedule, regardless of the fact that they're pre. You know, and so the AMA, she was reporting, acknowledges this, but it's more important to keep to the schedule. So, you know, as I say, everybody knows what's going on, and everybody is turning a blind eye. Even if they acknowledge it, they're turning a blind eye to the murder itself. You know, if you know that children are going to die and you do it anyway, what is that? You know?
And that's why you find a doctor who knows, and I'm looking forward to those doctors, because that's what we did. We took Nathan to Philadelphia to a physician who's an MD and practices only homeopathy for adults and children. And she said she couldn't do it anymore. She just could not. She said she started being a doctor in the 1970s, and she noticed that the children in her practice, she's a pediatrician at that time, the children in her practice who didn't get vaccinated were the healthiest. And she started questioning that and researching, and then she changed over to homeopathy and helps develop general immunity response to all of these diseases. And you can get blood titers done that prove you have the natural immunity. So you have that natural immunity. You don't need the vaccination. You don't need it. And that, to me, is the only possible way we're going to get representatives and senators to listen. When I tell them those hardcore facts, then they want to know more. And we've actually gotten the flu shot stopped. And we've kept our philosophical exemption in Pennsylvania for a year. There's a study going on right now amongst it in the government. And we are educating them and hoping that they will continue to listen. So far, so good.
I'm so happy to know you, Margie. I love people who take action. And you are obviously a woman who takes a lot of action.
I try. I wish I could just devote my whole life to this, but I still have to work. I still have to make a paycheck. But I do have, I'm self-employed, so, you know, I can juggle that around.
Your schedule is, flexible. In terms of talking about money, people don't realize how much vaccine reactions put them in the hole and how much after insurance would you say this has cost you?
Now you're talking about case experience or my grandson? Clarify that a little bit for me.
He had a lot of in and out of the hospital. He had a lot of expenses.
Well, let me tell you about that. All right, I don't know how many thousands that we spent going to alternative therapists. It was something we could afford, but many people cannot. But the thing that really irritates us is if he had millions of dollars of coverage and the hospital system didn't give him the second, they needed to split open the chromosome to show that he had the Philadelphia chromosome, and that would have said he would have gotten a different protocol. So that's why they misdiagnosed. And when I asked them why they didn't tell me there was a second test, they said, oh, well, that's an expensive one, and we don't tell people about that because we have so many low-income people that can't afford it. And I was just, like, fuming to them. You need to always tell the parent all the possibilities. We did pursue medical lawsuits, but with children, it's almost impossible to win. It takes 10, 20 years, and I decided to go the way of spirit instead. Yeah. But as far as if you're looking for homeopathy, it's very inexpensive. You can get for $80, you get protection of 8 different diseases that are on the CDC's list. And the doctor's appointment, that was $80. So that has an equivalent cost of like $3,000 with vaccinations. And I'm sure people have co-pays that would go well over the $80. The physician's appointment is the most expensive thing that you go one time. You're educated and you have numerous phone calls. Any calls you want back to the physician at no charge. And I think that was about, my total bill was about $480 to receive the this immune educational system called homeoprophylaxis. That's what I'm hoping my son will agree to. You know, he did go.
And the link that you put underneath, that I put underneath, called free and healthy children.
Children.
International,
yeah.
freeandhealthychildren.com. Is that program is what you're describing on this website?
Yes.
Or was that? Yes.
That's,
okay.
That's on that website, and you can find the physicians state by state. They have the physicians listed. And that's the other part of the program I just showed Saturday after showing the movie Balt. I brought in hope for those who feel like they need to do something to help their child's immune system build. I brought in the homeoprophylaxis. For $10, you can purchase an online program that will teach you everything about it. And it's on their website. So they're very low income. Very low cost to get this education. Some people can read. They have books you can buy. Some people rather watch the videos. So they have both programs of education. I have 2 degrees in education. My master's is in education. My undergrad is in health and physical education. And number one, I'm a teacher. That's what I do, just educate. Always looking for the truth.
We only have about a minute left. So if there's something you'd like to say to our audience in closing, now would be the time to do it.
Open your minds and open your hearts to the truth. Just get out there. It's not hard to find the evidence-based information that you find out that there is the biggest hoax on the face of the planet going on right now with vaccinations.
Well, I am going to say a prayer that your son listens to you, and my best to your husband, Craig. And I look forward to seeing you on October 11th at 1 p.m. at the statue near the Vietnam War Memorial. And we will be reading the names of the fallen from vaccination at that time in an effort to encourage Congress to erect a national memorial to vaccine victims. Thank you, Margie Schaefer. I appreciate
you
coming on the program today.
Thanks, Sally, and I hope you're ready because I've got a big hug for you. I'm a hug person.
Yeah, we're gonna be hugging for quite some time, I'm sure. Okay, thanks again.
Take care. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.